The creature slowed, head sweeping, and then it saw the snow being disturbed by invisible feet moving toward the house. It bawled out another unworldly cry and went after them, and I didn't dare risk another blast of flame, not with the carpenter's house in the line of fire. So instead, I lifted my right hand, triggered one of the triple-layered rings on it with my will, and sent a burst of raw force at the what's-it. The unseen energy struck it in the knees, throwing its legs out from under it with such strength that its head slammed into the snow. The disturbance in the snow rushed around toward the front door of the house. Molly must have realized that the deformation of the security door would make it difficult, if not impossible, to open, and once again I felt fierce approval. But it faded rather rapidly when the what's-it that had been playing possum behind me slammed into the small of my back like a sulfur and rotten egg-driven locomotive. The horns hit hard and it hurt like hell, but the defensive magic on my long black leather duster kept them from impaling me. The impact knocked the wind out of me, snapped my head back sharply, and flung me to the snow. Everything got confusing for a second, and then I realized that it was standing over me, ripping at the back of my neck with its claws. I hunched my shoulders and rolled, only to be kicked in the nose by a cloven hoof, and an utterly gratuitous amount of pain came with a side order of whirling stars. I kept trying to get away, but my motions were sluggish, and the what's-it was faster than me. Charity stepped out of the workshop with a steel hafted ball peen hammer in her left hand and a heavy-duty contractor's nail gun in her right. She lifted the nail gun from 10 feet away and started pulling the trigger as she walked forward. It made foot-foot-foot sounds, and the already seared what's-it started screaming in pain. It leapt up wildly, twisting in agonized gyrations in midair, and fell to the snow, thrashing. I saw heavy nails sticking up out of its back, and the smoking wounds were bleeding green-white fire. It tried to run, but I managed to kick its hooves out from under it before it could regain its footing. Charity whirled the hammer in a vertical stroke, letting out a sharp cry as she did, and the steel head of the tool smashed open the what's-its skull. The wound erupted with grayish matter and more green-white fire, and the creature twitched once before it went still, its body being consumed by the eerie flame. I stood up, blasting rod still in hand, and found the remaining beasties wounded but mobile, their yellow, rectangular pupiled eyes glaring in hate and hunger. I ditched the blasting rod and picked up a steel-headed snow shovel that had been left lying next to one of the children's snow forts. Charity raised her nail gun, and we began walking toward them. Whatever these things were, they didn't have the stomach for a fight against mortals armed with cold steel. They shuddered as if they'd been a single being, then turned and bounded away into the night. I stood there, panting and peering around me. I had to spit blood out of my mouth every few breaths. My nose felt like someone had superglued a couple of live coals to it. Little silver wires of pain ran all through my neck from the whiplash of getting hit from behind, and the small of my back felt like one enormous bruise. "Are you all right?" Charity asked. "Fairies," I muttered. Why did it have to be fairies?